And it's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour your cup. Sit down and enjoy a good chat. We'll be back right after this song.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Amen. And these weeks are rolling around kind of fast, aren't they, men?
They are.
Yes, sir.
This is Pastor Peters, and I got my Radio Ranch Wranglers here, and we're having coffee again. Another week gone by, and a week closer to Lord's return. A lot of things happening out there, and we best start off with prayer. Let's just each one of us have a little bit of prayer. Let's start with Kyle.
Okay. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, even there's snowflakes falling on the ground right now. We thank you for it, Lord, and we thank you for a warm place to come into and all the things that we just take for granted, Lord. The hot shower I had this morning.
Yeah.
You know, a toilet to sit on. I mean, just it's just innumerable, you know, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for your most high and mighty Son, Jesus Christ.
Heavenly Father, guide and direct us this day. Lord, let us be men of valor, men of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us come boldly before your throne, washed in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come before it today to speak about things of your word and speak about things that are happening around us, guide and direct our thoughts and our words. Lord, let them be on you continually. Let our every thought, word, action, and deed be pleasing to you and edifying to the saints that are out there. We just do thank you, as Kyle said, that you allow us this time to come together to be men, to come together with other men and have fellowship and be able to broadcast this out to your people that are out there. Lord, give us again the words to say that would edify and strengthen your Christian men, your Gideon remnant that are out there that hear this broadcast. Strengthen us and strengthen them as well, all to your glory. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ with no apologies. And thank you for the opportunity to do so. We come and just ask for your blessing upon this broadcast. We pray that the Holy Spirit comes and guides and directs each and every one of us. We pray that that Holy Spirit goes with this message across the airways, wherever it is heard, and we call for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go with it, to soften those hearts, Father, that people can receive the deeper things that you have for them to learn, Father. We pray that you guide and direct our people into continued truth, Father. Show them the way. Oh, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to do this broadcast, and we pray that it is a blow to Satan and his kingdom. We thank you that you've given us power and authority over all the forces of hell, the spiritual forces of wickedness, and that when you say bow, they will. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that this broadcast is a blessing to the saints across this land, and just ask that you guide and direct your people. In Jesus Christ's name.
Oh, Heavenly Father, it is a privilege that you give myself and the Ranch Wranglers to be able to come together, speak our mind, and have it go out on the airways to help influence the heart, minds, and souls of others that have been taken in by the leaven of the Pharisee. You said, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. And so we do pray for your Spirit to lead us, each one of us, and to lead those people that are hearing. And as Jason prayed, there's a lot of hard, dried up wineskin out there, Lord, that can't receive new wine. But if you give them that anointing, soften up that oil with the Holy Spirit oil, they can receive it, and that wineskin will expand. So we pray for that to be done. And we are grateful, Lord, for the mighty many blessings that you bestow upon us that we often just take for granted. We praise you. We praise you that you've given us the privilege to live in these times that Habakkuk had talked about. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a great deal it is to see these dirty bastards reach their pinnacle and they can't quite make it. They couldn't put on the capstone of that Tower of Babel a long time ago, and they're not going to get their deeds done here when it comes to their so-called New World Order. Sure am thankful, Lord, that you use the weak and the foolish, because it fits me and my men, and we're more than happy to bring them babies down and stomp them to the ground. Raise up an army of Satan stompers where he's crushed, defeated, he and his children. Oh, make this broadcast a blessing and to the saints, blow to the snakes, and enjoyable to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, I pray for my Ranch Wranglers. I know you do too. You know, I thought Kyle's prayer was a pretty good prayer. You know, I've been thinking about, every one of your guys' prayers were good prayers, don't get me wrong, but you know, lately, and I don't know why, I've just been thanking God for a thing like a pillow.
Yeah.
Or a bed, or a hot shower. And maybe it's because Americans have just taken this for granted all their life, and they have never once went to bed or got up out of bed and thanked God for their bed and their pillow and a hot shower.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think maybe for many it's going to come to an end.
Yeah, it definitely will. Yeah, talk about being spoiled. The Americans today, they've forgotten what it was like a few generations ago through the Great Depression.
Right.
You know, when you went to bed hungry. And you really didn't know where your food was coming from the next day. And you didn't have to just that little thermostat on the wall that you just adjust. And yeah, times have sure changed.
I bet you when there was a lot of those people going through that, though, I bet you it taught a lot of them to pray.
Yes.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
And God has a way of getting people to cry out to him. You know, and it's just how low are some of these people going to have to go before they do cry out and do repent?
I don't know. What Richard brought to Sunday school last Sunday was a real shocker to me. Let's bring on the airways. I think I've addressed it some from the pulpit last Sunday, but I was just appalled when you told me about the teenage gay deal.
Oh, in Houston, Texas. It was last Sunday, and
the Houston area was Bring Your Gay Teenager to Church Sunday. And it talks about the, you know, the, oh, the, they interview the one mother that, well, when my 15-year-old told me he was gay, I responded like Jesus would, with unconditional love. And it's just sickening. And you've got these churches, and some of them have women pastors or Most High Reverend Mary James.
And the kids say, well, yeah, Mommy, I know that you feel that way, but a lot of these fundamental churches say we're going to go to hell. And so yeah. Mommy wanted to make sure we got a church movement.
Yeah, that that wouldn't condemn, wouldn't call sin sin, that wouldn't call her gay, queer, homosexual, faggot little boy a gay, queer, faggot, homosexual, and tell him that he's sinning, and that if he continues in sinning and doesn't repent, he's going to go to hell. So they find the church that just, you know, loves everybody.
Well, there were several of them down there.
Several that had gotten together over the last, I guess it was the last few months. And this last Sunday, they had Bring Your Gay Teen to Church Sunday. And I'm not going to tell you when you were talking about that what Jason back there in the control room was talking about. Yeah, you could bring them here as well. I'm not going to mention that. But folks, if you're listening out
bring
there.
Bring them here and we'll take them out in a body bag.
That's right. They, you know, people, homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination before God. That has not changed. It hasn't changed from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelations. It still is. And the wages of sin is death. That has not changed either.
And he's made it very clear that if you have a queer, you execute them. You come out of the closet in a godly society, you go into the grave, man. And that's not just for homosexuality, it's for adultery as well. Mm-hmm. We'd have this sexual fornication stopped in a hurry. You know, I was visiting with Dr. Hall the other day. And he was explaining to me what happens to the immune system and why he's thinking so many people are sick. He said, people are living together. They don't get married. They just, we used to call it shacking up.
Yeah, they still shack up.
Yeah, but we don't use shack up. You know, it's their significant other now. You know, copulate like a bunch of dogs in heat and think that they're not going to get any kind of penalty for it. And the Lord said that he will judge the fornicator. Well, here Dr. Hall started explaining to me, and he's way above me, I can't understand all of it, about our pineal gland and about frequency and about the marriage bed and how we're to come together as one, and when people don't do that, what it does to their immune system and how it makes them sick early in life, and on it goes, and it's all part of God keeping his word. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And we got a nation that's absolutely, they're flipping him off. Mm-hmm. They're standing there with their right index finger stuck up there in his face and saying, ha, ha, ha.
They are. And, you know, it reminds me when you got into this, Richard, and what you're saying, Pastor, is I can just hear it all over the world right now. Anybody that, you know, that would hear this in the Judeo-Christian era, it'd be like in Romans 6:14, half the verse is what they quote. For ye are not under the law, but you're under grace. We're all under this dispensation of grace. You know, that's what they say. Well, the first part of that verse is, for sin shall have no more dominion over you. And we're talking about Romans 6:14. Now, they quote Paul all the time. You know, you're not under law, you're under grace. If you just go back 10 verses before that, he tells you how that you die to sin. You know, and he describes, he goes, know you not, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, so we shall also be raised up in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now that, I mean, it's a perfect description of how you die to sin and how you become out of under law, death, the penalty of death, you know, to enter into this dispensation of grace.
Yeah.
You know, because we, as people, have to be joined together, quickened together. One of the verses says, I think it's in Colossians, have to be joined together with him so that we can raise up new with him. You know, so that we can, you know, I mean, and that involves repentance. You know, first belief, then repentance, and then a work, going down into the water, you know, and coming up a new man. I mean, but they don't ever tell you, you know, how you get out of that penalty of law, which was death. They never tell you that.
Right.
They just say, well, don't judge them. You know, it's a homo over here, it's interracial over here, it's whatever, wherever. We're all under grace. Since Jesus died on the cross, we're all under grace. Well, that's ridiculous. If we were all under grace, what, there would be absolutely no point of anything. You know what I mean? I mean, why that prayer you brought on Wednesday night prayer meeting, Colossians 9 through whatever. I mean, Paul is exhorting us in that prayer to do something, to live righteously, to, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's a job we have to do as Christians, you know, to be in that grace. You know what I mean? And anyway, it just brought up a lot of, you know, I was just thinking about what a lot of people would be thinking when you guys were talking about, you know, what is the penalty of this and this, and, you know what I mean, just... It's not like we, and I also want to say this, it's not like after we enter that grace period that we ignore the law, because Paul also says in the same chapter, you know, first verse, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Right.
You know?
No.
God forbid.
But everybody else says, oh, just do whatever, they don't even call it a sin. You know, that's just do whatever you want to do, you're under grace, brother. Yeah. You're under grace.
There's a new song out on the country airwaves now. It's a good, catchy song, you know. I think it's by half of the Brooks and Dunn core, the guy named Brooks. And I think the title is We All Bleed Red. And it's a catchy tune. You know, I've caught myself singing along to it. But the hidden message there is we're all the same. You know, well, I got news for you. When the butcher comes out here to kill one of our cows and take it to the butcher shop, the cow bleeds red. If you kill a snake down by the river or wherever, it's going to bleed red. The wolf, you know, that's walking around, it bleeds red. I mean, scorpions probably bleed red too. I've never killed a scorpion, but I would imagine they bleed red. What in the world does that have to do with anything? You know, I mean, but it puts people in a spell, you know, or we're all the same.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my rant, I guess, for this morning.
Pretty good one, too.
Yes.
I say amen. That guy's going to become a preacher. You know, the other night we had prayer meeting. I hope I wasn't too hard on this young man, because he's a good man. But he called in, started telling us about these people from Kakistan or whatever it is. And by the way, we found out how good those people are over there. They've taken our money, weren't they, Jason? And our,
yeah, they were.
We were sending our film stuff over there. It wasn't getting aired.
Yeah, and that was a Christian, a so-called Christian broadcasting network that we were working with.
Yeah, and so he was talking about this Christian brothers and sisters from this church that doesn't baptize us. I've had it. Don't give me this stuff about being Christian brothers and sisters if you're not baptized for remission of sins. We have allowed people to talk about, well, when I got saved. Now, we need to understand, people, the difference between salvation and conversion. There's a lot of people that get converted. There's one fellow that he's got a newsletter, and he puts out some pretty good stuff. Always considered him a friend, but, you know, I've kind of gotten disgusted with it, because he insists on telling the world how he became a Christian, sitting out there on a rocking chair one day, and he puts his cigarette out and lays his drink down, and and suddenly accepts the Lord. Now he's, voila, a Christian. No, that's conversion. That's a change. But you're not a Christian until you're born again of the water and the Spirit.
Amen.
And then they want you to accept them because they believe in Jesus. I don't buy it.
Well, no. Many are called, few are chosen. Yeah. And we want to be part of the chosen here.
Right. And even the demons believed. You know, they said, hey, this Jesus Christ of Nazareth we know, but who are you? And so even the demons believed. They understood who Jesus was. They didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't want him to send them to a premature death or a premature torture. And so, you know, the people that are just, oh, believe, it's just, that's it. You know, I think I've said it before, but I met saw a mutual friend that we have here in town at the post office one day, and we got to talking about this. And, you know, and he made that comment just about the same thing. Yeah, you know, when I became a Christian and finally accepted Jesus into my heart, boy, my life's just never been the same. And I said, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I said, can you tell me in the Bible where it says that that's how we become a Christian? And I just get this deer in the headlight, glazed over look, like, you know, gone. And I asked him, I said, now, you know, I sure read in the Bible of conversions where they went to water and were baptized. And Acts 2:38 tells us that, you know, here these people have crucified the Son of God. That's probably about as bad a thing as you could do. And they asked what to do, and they were told by an apostle what to do. I said, now, I understand that. I've read that, and I said, and I've done that. And I said, but I just, you know, and I was just trying to be as pleasant as I could. But I said, you know, I just have never read. I'd appreciate if you could tell me where it tells us just to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. So we have to believe. These were believers that crucified Jesus. And it just, you know, oof, just, I mean, he just turned off. Well, have a nice day. See you later.
Yeah.
And these people are just bewitched, brainwashed. They would rather believe the lie that they believed, that they've been taught.
And the Lord said, right in his word, if you will not receive a love of the truth so as to be saved, I'll send you a deluding influence to believe a lie.
Yeah, and you know what it's like when somebody else deceives you or dilutes you. Can you imagine what a deluding influence from the Lord God would be like? I mean, there would be no getting out of that one, you know. Yeah,
good point.
I mean, it's not like, okay, you can't deceive me, God. I mean, give me a break. If God's going to send you a deluding influence, it's going to get you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you people just don't serve the kind of God. You don't worship the God I worship.
Amen. That's right. We worship the one here that says, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they're a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness. That's the God we serve.
That's Isaiah, isn't it?
Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses. They've moved me to jealousy with what is not God. They've angered me with their idols. That's the God I serve. You know, I can understand a God like that, at least a certain amount. You know, so I'll move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. I will anger them with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, he says. That's the God we serve. And you're absolutely right, Pastor. The God that they serve, oh, is a God of love and blah, blah, blah. Well, they call good evil and evil good, and they think he's a God of love, but that Beelzebub that they serve is a God of hate, is really what it is.
Another point on this, just the other day, I've got this little book in my hand, so God's Promises for Your Every Need. And it's a good little booklet. And I was telling Richard and Kyle, I don't know if we should order this and carry it or not, though, because at the back of it, it's got God's Plan of Salvation. And there's not a thing mentioned in it. They purposely leave out every scripture that has to do with being baptized. And then Richard said, well, we could get it and put a little addendum to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other promises are good.
It's basically just scripture, isn't it? Right out of the King James.
Right.
It categorizes it like, you know, what to read when you're feeling down or depressed or where to look for faith. And
yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in it.
Yeah.
And that's the way they get you. These dirty birds will get you because, and I got people out there, they'll listen to a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he'll give them all kinds of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of a, I told you guys about it quite a few months ago. I got a went to a thrift store and bought a book called How to Be Born Again by Billy Graham. And I couldn't even tell you. I mean, I have to let you read it sometime, Pastor. He goes all around baptism. I mean, we're talking about even in Acts 2:41, where it talks about 3,000 souls being saved. He even mentions them as how to be born again, but he doesn't even mention the process that they went through to get there. Just three verses ahead of that. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. And if you guys want to ever do an interesting study, which, you know, I mean, I think it's interesting. Look up the word woe in the Bible, and everywhere it talks about woes. And when you guys were talking, it brought up the woe in Jeremiah 23:1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. But and that's just one example. I mean, if you ever want to just look up all the woes, you know, and know what not what to do, I mean, that's a good way to do it.
That's a good point. Well, we've been making all the points. You got any points to make down there, Jason? We got Jason hooked up by telephone.
Yeah, I thought, well, I think it's interesting. And, you know, you've been talking a lot lately on Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, clothe yourselves in the strength of Zion. Clothe yourself in beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And that's, you know, that's a scripture that is just really, really hit home. You know, it's like it's going to happen. You know, we know, you know, from it's a prophecy, and it's for the times. And we know that people are going to be awakened, that there's going to be, that he has a people from that scripture. And it's interesting that in that Isaiah 52, verse 6, it says, my people shall know my name. You know, and we get caught up so much of the time, wasting a lot of time trying to argue with these people that don't even know his name, and they don't want to know his name, and how just what a sidetrack, you know, argument that is, and it can get you off track and can get you fretting and upset, you know, and it puts it pretty simple. It says, "My people shall know my name." You know, how clear does that make it? You know, it's Jesus Christ. It's not some other name that you can't even find in the Bible. You know, we're talking about Christians. We're talking about his people and how they know his name. Now, and the reason I got off on that, I was just reading that before we came on the air, but I was looking at that scripture in that's Isaiah 52:8. You know, it says, "Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices. They shout joyfully together." You know, and we've been talking so much about vibrations lately, and we've got the new program, Vibrations, now on the Scriptures for America Broadcasting Network. And that's what kind of got me started looking at these different, you know, vibrations, trying to find where you can find these different scriptures that have vibrations in them. You look at the Psalms, like Psalms 57, verse 7 says, "I will sing, yes, I will sing praises." You know, that's vibration. That is a person projecting a vibration. You look at verse 50 or chapter 57, verse 4 says their tongues are a sharp sword, you know, and it's talking about their tongues, and their tongues are what project a frequency. It projects a vibration, and you can clearly see from scripture that these vibrations and that come out of people's mouths, they can be good, used for good, or they can be used for evil. You know, there's wicked, they project one frequency, and when we praise the Lord and use our mouths, we can project a different frequency. And how so much of this warfare that we've been fighting is using these weapons, and we haven't opened our mouths, and we haven't been shouting, just like it says in Isaiah 52, and we haven't, our mouths have been shut up, and we haven't been projecting this frequency. And it's a combat between the forces of hell and the forces of light. You know, and it goes down to we have this weapon available to us, and we haven't been using it. Psalms 55, verse 21 says, "His speech was smoother than butter, his words were softer than oil." You can see that, you know, his words, you know, which are frequency, were a weapon of warfare. You know, and I think that David, this is something that David had figured out, because in Psalms 55, verse 9, it says, "Confuse, O Lord, and divide their tongues." You know, and he was cursing their tongue. He was calling on the Lord to confuse their tongues, but he was coming against their tongues. You know, and a snake, if you look at what a snake does, a snake can taste with its tongue, a snake can feel with its tongue, and a snake can smell with its tongue. You know, and they have different abilities that they can use their tongue for that we don't have. And it's interesting enough that they got forked tongues. And there's been a lot of stuff on the news and on the internet lately about these people that are having forked tongues, and people go in and have their tongues actually split so they can have a forked tongue. And you go over to Psalm 40.
Are they able to talk after they have their tongue split?
Yeah, but it completely changes the vibration of their voice. And if you chop somebody's tongue off, they can't speak.
Right.
But if you fork it, it changes the frequency of it. You know, and Psalms 47, verse 1 says, "Shout to God with a voice of joy." Verse 5 says, "God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises of our King, sing praises for God." And you start looking at these Psalms, and you know, David really understood the tongue of a serpent, and he also understood the power that we have in singing praises and shouting praises and using our voices to go to our God. Psalms 34, verse 13 says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." You know, that's a commandment there. Verse 16 says, "The face of the Lord against evildoers to cut them off from the memory of the earth." You know, we have so much of this ability to do, but we've been indoctrinated by, just like you guys were talking, that doctrine of love, 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 and people haven't looked at the evil. They haven't looked at the scriptures of the wicked or of the evildoers. You know, we've been talking a lot about the wicked lately, and you look at all the scriptures on what the wicked do. But you can also look at all the scriptures, and other ones to look up is evildoers. You look at what these evildoers are, and reminds me of that message, a band of evildoers that you brought when you were talking about these Baal priests, these preachers. And in that message, I think you brought out the Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 14, Ezekiel 33 scriptures. But it was talking about a band of evildoers. Well, it's a good study to take up and look at the evildoers and what they're doing, and that might spark some hatred in somebody if you start looking at what these evil doers do. You know, Psalms 29, verse 6 says, "Because he has heard the voice of my supplication." You know, we have that ability to project a frequency, you know, speak to the Lord and call on him for supplication. "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters" is Psalms 29, verse 3. And so much of this goes back to speaking. And you look at what these Baal priests do, they tell you, bow your head, you know, and say in your heart, and, you know, think of this, you know, or in your heart speak. But the scripture says, say these things, speak these things, call upon the Lord, lift your voices up. You know, that's not something that you do inside. That's something that you do, you project it a frequency, you project it out, you speak it. You know, it's pretty simple when you look at it. And that's something that the Baal priests, they come against time and time again. You know, bow your heart, bow your head, and accept Jesus into your heart. You don't have to say anything. And if you look at when they call for confession or people to, you know, accept Jesus into their heart, a lot of times they specifically say, don't say anything. Don't speak anything. Just in your heart say, you know, which is completely unscriptural.
Yeah, it's more like the Eastern yoga type of religions that they have, to where you just clear your mind and, you know, either don't say anything like you're saying, or just, you know, have some type of a hum or a chant or something like that. Yeah, it's completely unbiblical.
You know, this brings a point up that I think the Holy Spirit just convicted me yesterday about. Yeah, and I need to talk to Richard about this, because Richard, my right-hand man when it comes to putting these conferences on, and he does a lot of the behind-the-scene work. And Richard, I don't know if you know this or not, but Branson will be on us before we know it.
Mm-hmm.
But what came to my mind, gentlemen, is that something just said, this year in Branson, emphasize worship. emphasize praise, emphasize singing, come into the presence of the Lord joyfully. And, you know, normally we kind of set it up as a conference. We've got different speakers and this, that. We still have speakers, but something just tells me the leading of the Spirit is we need to make sure that this one is going to lift the roof. Mm-hmm. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's a great idea. It's even, you know, the power of music, too. I mean, just like every time we come in here and you play That Old Wheel, you know, I might not be feeling that great. You know, I mean, it just might just be one of those days where you're ho-humming along. But all of a sudden that song starts playing and you start, you know, your head starts bobbing a little bit. Your toe starts tapping. And pretty soon it's like, let's go. Let's, you know, smile comes on everybody's faces. And it's just, you know, I think that's a great idea for Branson, you know, because I know in the past, boy, yeah, I mean, I know you spend a lot of time trying to pick which songs we're going to do there. You know, and especially the last couple of years, and it is a joy. You know, if you ever walk into the room late, which I suggest you don't, but and the people are singing, it's like, I mean, you can feel something there. You can feel a joy and a happiness and a camaraderie of brethren. You know, yeah.
That really was
well, and
noticeable.
We really haven't thought of it as a weapon either.
Right.
You know, music is a weapon is as far as combating our enemies either. You know, when you project that frequency and you put that frequency out, I mean, they got singing all over the world, but do they sing the songs like that we have sung there at, say, a Branson conference? You know, a lot of times they've got a chant that can actually put somebody in a depressed state of mind when you sing the same line over and over. By about the 10th time, you know, it's like, okay, I'm ready to sit down now. This is exhausting. It's boring. It's ridiculous. You know, and they don't have songs with the name of Jesus Christ in it. They don't have you know. And a lot of times, even when you get somebody that's a Christian, so-called Christian singer, you know, you got to be really careful. And I've noticed this. Well, I've had to pull a lot of music off the country gospel opera program because so many of these so-called Christian singers just want to sing about, well, how I just is all you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart to become a Christian. You know, that's all you have to do. They do the same thing that the Baal priests do.
Yeah.
Right, and just hang tight and you'll be raptured out of here. That type of stuff, yep.
Yep. You mentioned a good one, Pastor, about, you know, the what was the one song about finding Jesus on the jailhouse floor or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and not that, like you said earlier, not that you can't have conversions, but that's not the end. That might be the beginning, but not the end.
Hey, you want to hear a good song?
Yeah.
I got one ready to play, and I say it's a good song. I'm not bragging here, but it's just a song that came to me, and sometimes the Holy Spirit hits you, and you can just rewrite these babies. Mm-hmm. And it hit me, and I just kind of rewrote it. It's kind of got a bit of Americana in it, and I think Paul Searles does a good job singing it. And let's just hear it. I played it before, but it's a good break time. You want to take a break?
Yeah.
I like this one.
I hear the Lord's coming. This age is gonna end. We will see the sunshine who takes away our sin. We're stuck in Satan's system, and time keeps dragging on. But the Lord is coming. He will rebuke the wrong. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, child, always be a good boy, don't you ever run wild. She talked about Lord Jesus, whom they crucified. I knew I wouldn't listen, now I hang my head and eating and a drinking, just like in Noah's day. They are creatures of destruction, ignoring judgment day. Yet I know for sure what's coming, and that's what bothers me. Folks must give their lives to Jesus, and he will set them free.
Jesus freed me from the system. I know my life is fine, moving down the road of life now. Yes, I walk the line, far from the sinful prison. That's where I want to stay. I was baptized in the water, my sins were washed away. I was baptized in the water, all my sins were washed away.
Like that song, don't you?
Yes, that's a good one.
You know, and we're there's scripture says sing unto the Lord a new song. I think the reason that's important is these songs that are out there that are religious songs, there's no baptism in them. The songs we're rewriting, we're rewriting songs, putting baptism in them. Mm-hmm.
Now, we sung some old ones at last Sunday. Are You Washed in the Blood? And a couple of those.
Yeah, about the blood.
Yeah, those were good, heartfelt, you know, old Christian hymns that were great. But these new ones are, they really hit home, don't they?
I think we could have really a great time in Branson, just a worship time. What do you think?
I think so too.
You guys,
a time of worship, a time of shouting to the Lord, shouting joyfully.
Mm-hmm. I want you men to start working on. Let's get a brain trust of men. We got acres of diamond men out there. And start developing a projected program for Branson. I think it'd be a fun project.
And it will be here before we know it. It is, if you're marking your calendars now, it'll be June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. That's the first weekend in June in Branson at the same place. And we'll be getting some flyers out and advertising it on the web and in the next newsletter that comes out as well.
You know, people don't realize how much we got going on around here. They really don't. Just taking care of the ranch and Richard taking care of the office and the network programming that Jason's doing and this project logos we got right now as I'm doing this program, we got a crew of men working around the clock in Nashville, Tennessee on that transmitter. I want to get that thing transmitting, hopefully by Passover time. And we're going to be advertising the prophecy sermons on other networks and just things going all the time. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, my men are doing the work. I haven't been pulling my load like I should. And I say that because I'm getting ready to leave them for 3 weeks. I'm taking a vacation.
First time in what, 30 years?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you're due.
But we're not dumb either. We know what his vacation is going to be like. He's going to be coming up with stuff all the time and sermons to work on. You know, because, and it's his job, you know, faith comes by hearing, you know, I mean, we can have all the singing and all the worship, and I want to in Branson, but I know there's going to be some sermons with some meaty messages and some milk messages, I'm sure, and that's how you get faith, you know, by hearing that word of God preached. So.
I'd hate to live right now and not be part of the remnant and know who we are and what this land is, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be
world of darkness.
That's why you see all these people fretting is because they don't know the truth, you know?
Yep, they're fretting, they're depressed, they're on drugs, they're on alcohol. Like you said earlier, the marriages are just gone. Marriages are just destroyed. Families are destroyed. Because it's like he said in the Song of Moses back there, hey, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. The people say, ha, we're good. Who needs God? And he says, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what their end will be.
They got their hot showers, their pillows, their bed. Their indoor toilet, you know, just an indoor toilet. You know what a blessing that is? I hate to talk about that on the air, but.
Well, you mentioned a hot shower, and you did. You know, how many times you get up in the morning and you stumble in and you turn those knobs and the hot water gets out and you step in? You know, King Solomon couldn't do that.
Good point.
King Solomon did not have that.
And we got it, and our people don't thank God for it every day.
See, I put on my work boots out on my deck in the mornings, and because they have, you know, they have cow manure or whatever on them, you know, so I don't put them on in the house and track it around. So, but I'm standing out this morning putting my boot on, and I'm thinking, man, I'm cold, you know, because I hadn't put my jacket on yet, you know, and I'm just thinking, you know, what a baby, you know what I mean? So I'm outside for 30 seconds to put my boots on. You know, I already had the truck warming up, you know, so it's just like, you know, there's so much to be thankful for.
You need to toughen up.
Well, you guys, yeah. I thought you'd been working on that.
Or be like me and, you know, have I have Dave go out and crank the truck and warm it up in the morning.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, there's privileges.
Hey, you know, change in thought. If you can't figure out we're in the day of the Lord with the things that are going on in the world, you're not much of a prophet. That's quite a deal they had hit down there in New Zealand, isn't it?
Oh, wiped the town of Christ Church out. The last I heard was 75 dead and 300 missing. Big earthquake knocked. What were you saying, Jason? Knocked the big cathedral over, or the steeple off the cathedral?
Yeah, big cathedral that they had there. I thought that was kind of interesting that it happened. What was the name of the town?
Christ Church.
Christ Church, and then the cathedral was the one that was the biggest building there that they had there that was destroyed.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be some real old historic cathedral.
Well, not only that, I noticed Richard gave me this day or so ago. Thousands flee as Philippine volcano erupts.
Yep. And that, you know,
that's
you don't,
no small eruption there.
No, and that was like there. On maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of this past week, and it's as far as I know, it's still erupting. You know, they're evacuating people out of certain parts of the Philippines and all this, and nothing on CNN, nothing on Fox, ABC, don't see any headlines. The same thing with that Christ Church down in New Zealand, but boy, let something happen in Haiti.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you can't get any other news except that. And that was just, what, a little over a year ago when that happened in Haiti. And so you look at even the timing, you know, a year ago you had this the big hurricane and devastation in Haiti, and here you've got earthquakes destroying towns, you've got volcanoes erupting. We've talked about the bulging going on right over here at Yellowstone.
Well, Jason, didn't you say they were doing some drilling over there in Arkansas?
They were doing some drilling over there, and they hit lava at 1,500 feet.
Hot molten lava at 1,500 feet. That's not that far down, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not that far down. No, and they've had 300 earthquakes down in that, I think, in Arkansas, that Arkansas region, they had 300 earthquakes in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're in the day of the Lord, and they're getting the contractions, the birth pangs are getting closer together, and they're getting closer to America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to Australia, New Zealand, so it's a ways away in the Philippines, but he's a-working this way.
That he is.
Does anybody know what's going on over there in Wisconsin? What the real story is?
I haven't paid too much attention to it, but I understand that you talk about that. Now, that's something I did want to bring out as far as the media goes. What a lying outfit we have. In fact, hold on a second. Go ahead and talk, guys.
Yeah, now you talk about the headlines, though, Jason, that Wisconsin has sure been in the headlines, you know, and I just haven't even read it. I haven't looked. I haven't even tried to see what it is, because
I haven't either.
Like the pastor saying, you know, you basically take what the media says, and it's probably going to be, the truth is probably going to be 180 degrees away from what the media.
Well, one thing
reporting.
I've noticed is that they have the ability to make us focus on something, and thus they have the ability to keep us focusing on things. They don't want us to hear about some of these Day of the Lord events. So if it's Haiti, where they can ship more of these black kids in to interracial marriage with us, that's a different story. But what's going on up there in Wisconsin is basically the people in Wisconsin are, this is my take on it, I don't know if I got it right, they're heavily taxed. And they got a governor in there, a Republican governor, I guess. It sounds like he's a one-timer. He's willing just not worry about get re-election. He's going to do what he promised to do, and that is to cut some of the budget. Well, you got these union boys in the schools and the government, and he wants them to give a break on some of their benefits. Well, everybody else is scraping to make it, and they're living, as you would say, high on the hog there as far as their benefits go. And, of course, they're squealing like a gut-shot panther, like a pig caught in a gate. And but the people are wanting it. Now, the ones that are opposing it, the way I understand it, they're having to ship in other people to protest it. The Wisconsin people aren't protesting. And I noticed in USA Today this week, it was back there on Wednesday, front page it says, public favors union rights. 61% want to keep bargaining power. And I thought, you lying bastards. You know, these people, like USA Today and the media, they don't report news.
No.
They form public opinion.
That's their job.
That's their job. And their job is to say, hey, you're supposed to be in favor of these unions. And the way I understand it, up there in Wisconsin, they're saying, hey, we want this thing cut. Now, the other thing that's interesting is when they were having all the mobocracy over there in Egypt, we had old Monkey Boy, the abomination we got in the White House, saying, oh, this is democracy in action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting a piece of democracy in action in Wisconsin. They don't like it. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have a democracy, never did. And as I preached before in the past, it's dealing with demonocracy. And the military handbook of back in the 40s, or maybe it was 30s, said of democracy that was the worst form of government that could exist because it led to mobocracy. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening.
Yeah, isn't it funny that the Democrat side, the democracy side, are the ones that fleed the state, so they couldn't pass the bill because they had more votes on one side than the other, you know. But the democracy side, yeah, they're out of here. They're not going to let this democracy work. It's kind of funny, you know.
Oh, such hypocrisy. Well, there's an awakening.
There is.
You know, a lot of people say, what good is it you people do? I believe, people, that when we put out on the airways the truth, and you have a love for the truth, and we don't make any apologies for it, and we don't sugarcoat it, it does something to what I call the social psychic. It gets out there, and it will eventually start soaking in, and people start thinking differently.
Yeah. Well, you have to make people aware that there's somebody lying to you. You know, I remember taking a phone call out here a few months ago about somebody talking about the moon. You know, it was after we had McCanny and that other guy on about the moon. And he's like, what does that have to do with Christianity? You know, and I'm just like, well, for one, it lets people know that there's somebody out there trying to deceive them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you gotta put that out there. So, right. You know, if they can see something like that, you know, the big deception that it is, you know, maybe they can start seeing littler things. Hey, what else are they lying to me about, you know?
Right.
You have to be aware before you can be aware, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so many people are so brain dead and lobotomized now, they don't care. Oh, okay, so it's a lie, big deal. Right. You know, pass the bud, who's playing on the football next week? If you love Christ, you can't help but love the truth. And if you're going to love the truth, you hate the lies and you hate the liars.
Yeah. And I noticed again Wednesday night, you know, one of the callers, you know, he's thanking the ministry or whatever. But I noticed again that same theology behind it was, you know, I started praying to God for truth. and I found Scriptures for America on the shortwave.
You know, got an email Friday morning, said the very same thing.
Yeah, it's,
you know, I've been listening for a year, and I found you when I asked God to show me truth.
I've heard that many times. Have you, Jason?
Oh, yeah, many times. Well, and I think people's consciousness is changing, too. You know, I mean, for so long, people had the attitude, you know, you fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, shame on you. You fool me twice, shame on you. You know, and then it has changed where it was, for a long time, it was fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, we're coming into a time where, you know, and coming to the realization, like it says in Galatians, be not deceived. You know, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're starting to be suspicious of these lies. You know, these sons of hell. We're looking at them, and it's like we're looking at them with whatever they tell us is probably a lie. And then we start looking for the truth. And I think there's going to be, you know, part of that truth is people seeking truth is part of that awakening process. You know, awakening to the lies. You know, that have had so many people entangled and had them bonded. Because they believe those lies. They believe those two knots, you know, that they've allowed themselves to be caught up in the sorcery and partaked in the sorcery of Babylon.
You know, men, we're about to run out of time. Let's do a little binding and loosing time. Right now, Lord, we come in agreement. I, the Radio Ranch Wranglers, we are in agreement. Yes. We're in you and you're in us.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And we now bind this lying media that's in America today. We bind them tight. They're full of tares, lying bastards, doing the deeds of their father who was a liar from the beginning. Now we bind them and we kindle a fire of anger. We don't fret over them, but we're angry about what they've done, and we want that fire stoked up, and we want them thrown in as bundles right into the fire. And we loose the holds that they have on the minds of the people. People that are thinking they're getting the news. People that are trusting them. We loose right now. We see it done in the heavens. The bonds being dissolved. They cannot hold them anymore. And people are awakening to what these liars are. We bind and loose now in the name Jesus Christ. That media. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, men, we're about out of time, and we'll just go out with a good song that's certainly fitting, and it's Snake Hide, and they'll have no place to hide when we get done. Right, men?
Amen. Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your prayers and your financial support. You're listening to a network that is made possible through the tithes and offerings of the people. We thank you people that make it possible. Let's go out with this song.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating,
our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Move it, moving, though they're disapproving.